Amen to that. You know, one thing about atheism is temporary. Every knee shall bow. So, God regenerates his chosen ones, but if he doesn't regenerate them, there's still going to come a time when they're no longer an atheist. They may not bow in humble submission. They'll bow. And they'll confess. Appreciate that good message that we've heard this morning. Pray for your continued interest in your prayers. It's a wonderful message to precede what's on our mind, and that is gifts that God gives us. Why would God give us a gift? If he's raised us from that death in sins to a life in Christ, if he's planted the desire in us to both to will and to do his good pleasure, why would he give us a gift? Wouldn't it be to use it? Do you think God gives us, let's see, this person's name begins with an R, so we'll just give him ruling. No, God doesn't do things just by haphazard doing. He is a God of purpose, isn't he? All right, so who does God give gifts? Isn't it to his children? Those chosen in him, those sanctified by grace, those chosen in him before the foundation of the world, they're the only ones. Only the sanctified. By the way, the word sanctified, sanctification, carries the idea of being set apart for a holy use. Set apart for a holy use. Got it? Now, let me ask you a question. If we indeed are one of God's saints, we may not feel like a saint, we may not want to call ourselves a saint, but if God has chosen you before the foundation of the world, if he's set you apart to be a holy use to him during this lifetime, then bless your hearts, you are a saint. So act like it, right? I know you do, but I'm just stirring up your pure mind by way of remembrance. Act like it. All right, now, if God gives gifts to his children, and he does, and if being sanctified means to be set apart for a holy use, then what if we choose not to use the gift? Does it matter to God? Really? If we just don't bother thinking about him, if we don't think about Christian service, if we don't think about trying to figure out what gifts the Lord's given us in order that we can be a blessing in the kingdom of God, does it matter to him if we just choose not to do it? Absolutely. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, James 4:17. To him that knoweth to do good, but I don't want to do that today. Where does that leave you? I mean, listen, brethren. Are we the true church, the Lord Jesus Christ? If I didn't believe that Primitive Baptists, by the marks that the scripture lays down from the apostles until now, if I didn't believe that we embrace more truth than I can find elsewhere, I'd be out looking for it. Now, I'm not saying we're the only God, only primitive Baptists are God's people. You know that. He has a people in every nation, kindred, and tongue. But you take this Bible and you line up what we believe, what we profess to believe. Now, there can be a gulf between what we profess to believe and how we live our lives each week, can't there? We don't want to be hypocrites. Jesus came down pretty hard on the hypocrites, didn't he? If we profess to believe these things, you know, that's one of the themes of 1 John. If you say this, then show me. Live it. Live it. All right, God gives gifts. And it matters to him whether or not we use those gifts. And I know, I hear it all the time. Preach, I don't understand. I don't know what gift my gift is. I don't know what spiritual gifts the Lord's given me. Well, here's my answer to that. You pray. You ask the Lord to show you, whether he shows you which gift. Just ask the Lord to lead you to do things that's pleasing in his sight. If you will pray like that, he will give you opportunities to serve him. And as you're going about following the leadership of your heart, you know, the leadership of the Spirit in your heart, then maybe you can figure out which one of those gifts it is that you're doing. Sometimes it's hard to differentiate between those gifts. And I'm going to get into some of the, not a lot about it, but just some of how the Lord gives gifts. But the point is, and if you don't hear anything else today, I hope that you'll hear that the point is we are set apart for a holy use. And it's important to God. You know, have you ever given somebody something that you put a little time into and you tried to think about what would be real special for that person based on their needs or their wants or their likes or dislikes or whatever, and you spent some time doing that and you gave it to them and you were so proud of what you gave to them because you knew it was well suited to their needs, and they just maybe cast it aside or ignored it? How would you feel? How would you feel about that? Well, how much more do you think God is disappointed when he's given us gifts and we aren't seeking to use it? And it's a great problem in the Church of the Living God today. You call it what you want to. Apathy, laziness, being wrapped up in the things of the world. You can call it what you want to, but it's a failing to seek the leadership of the Spirit and do things that are pleasing in his sight. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith it's impossible to please God. Well, what does that mean then? If you have faith, you can please God. I know we're not going to be perfect, but we can sure be found trying. All right, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. All right. James chapter 1, verse 17. Every good gift, every perfect gift, cometh down from the Father, from above, from the Father of life, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. My point I want to get from that is God gives the gifts. They are from him. We're not God's gift to the world. We're not our own God. He's had mercy upon us, right? By the washing of regeneration, renewing of the Holy Spirit. To do what? To be a praise to him in the earth. All right, so I'm persuaded from the study of the scriptures that when he gives us, which the gift of eternal life is a gift, right? For by grace, Ephesians 2:8, if you're primitive Baptist, you ought to be able to quote this verse. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. The grace and the faith is the gift. If you were listening to Brother John earlier, what he gives us in regeneration, we weren't looking for it. We weren't asking for it. We weren't out trying to find it. He came to us. He gave it to us. It is a gift. The grace and the faith are gifts from God. That's why I'm persuaded, I'm satisfied and totally persuaded that every one of God's children that are born of the Spirit of God has gifts. Nothing else is faith. It's eternal life. And that's no little thing, is it? I mean, that's eternal life? We didn't deserve it. We were hating God and hating one another. And God had mercy upon us and blessed us with His Holy Spirit. We're going to be praising Him in all eternity. But let's get started right now. Let's use what He's given us. The gift of God, you know, the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. If we have eternal life, bless your heart, if we have a desire to please Him, if we have that capacity to know God, to understand His will, and to try to follow Him, bless your hearts, He's given us some gifts, the gift of the Holy Spirit, and that Spirit, if we'll pray to Him and ask Him for the leadership of it, He'll lead us into doing things that would be pleasing in His sight. Every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from above. God gives it. Just a statement or two to differentiate between the good and the perfect. The perfect gift He's given us is salvation by grace through His Son for eternity. You can never be separated from it. Isn't that perfect? You can't take anything from it. You can't add anything to it. It's freely given to us. That's perfect. But now there's good gifts that He gives us as well. Faith and hope. Is your faith perfect in the sense of never doubting, never coming short, never coming short and trusting God? Are you always just 100% focused on pleasing God and accomplishing what you want to do? But we can make a good effort of it, can't we? It's a good gift. Isn't that good? That in this depraved nature of ours, that He would send His Holy Spirit, that He would give us regeneration, that He would plant within us the will to do, will and to do of His good pleasure. Isn't that good? And listen, those people who are walking by faith and trusting God and believing His word and learning and growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and trying to show forth the light that's within them, letting it shine before them and trying to be a good influence in this world. Isn't that good? You couldn't have done it without His gift. So there's lots of ways we can look at the perfection of Christ and what He's done for us and God's purpose for us and the good gifts that He gives to us to use to His glory. To His glory. Now, God gives gifts to the church. Wherefore He saith, when He ascended up on high, He led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Okay, Paul said to the Ephesian brethren. And then he mentions those gifts that He gives to the church. Some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Those are teaching gifts that God gives to the church so that the church can be instructed in the ways of righteousness. All right? And then he goes on in that chapter to tell us why God gave those. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. God gives those gifts as teaching gifts to perfect, to mature, to grow the body of Christ. In Romans chapter 12, there's some other gifts. Let me see, let me go back a little bit. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, there's some gifts mentioned there, aren't there? But you know, one of those gifts is tongues. And I've been here a long time, and I haven't seen any of you speak in tongues. Matter of fact, I've been to a lot of old Baptist meetings, and I've never seen them speak in tongues. It appears that there were some of those early gifts to the church that were to be sign gifts to make it evident of the presence of God working in their midst. But once we have the church established, and once we have the canon of Scripture, there's no need for those kind of gifts anymore. The church is established. He's given us His Word so that we can know His will and follow it and bring glory to His name. So we don't need some of those gifts. All right? But he does list a number of gifts there in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And then in chapter 14, he tells us about using those spiritual gifts. Well, wait a minute. 12 and 14. Isn't there a chapter in between? The Lord doesn't have ADD. He didn't say, oh, I forgot something. I need to tell you later. No, there's a reason why chapter 13 is there. You remember what 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is, don't you? You remember the subject of that whole chapter. Love. Now listen. He told us about some gifts. Then he told us about how to love one another. And until you know how to love one another and how to love God, you're not equipped to use the gifts. And if you don't use those gifts in love, they're not going to amount to anything. It is so needful that we speak the truth in love, that we live. You know, faith worketh by love, doesn't it? Galatians 5 and 6. Faith worketh by love. The energy, the passion, the strength of faith is our love. And that love comes from God. He gives it to us first so that we can love one another, so that we can love those around about us. All right, so he talked about some spiritual gifts. He talked about love, how we're to use, and then how to use it. And that love is a necessary part of using the spiritual gifts. Now, Romans 12, we don't have time to go through it, a lot of that, but in verses 6 through 8, he lists a number of gifts. All right, remember now, in Ephesians, he talked about teaching gifts that are given to the church for the perfecting of the saints. And then he lists in 1 Corinthians 12 and Romans chapter 12 the gifts. And those gifts are not necessarily, well, there's some teaching and ruling and things like that involved in it, but those gifts are mainly for us to learn about it, to learn the will of God, to learn the word of God, and to take that gift and go out into the world and use it. Not in a worldly way now, but to show God's love and to show God's ways to others. And yes, absolutely, it's for the church, for among ourselves to live that way and use those gifts and be a blessing to one another and be a glory to God. But it's also something for you to carry with you when you leave this place of worship and serve every day using the spiritual gifts that He gives us. Isn't that so needful? Won't that determine how much light goes forth from this place? Won't that determine how much love is flowing from one another? Because listen, he says, if you know these things, great. That's all there is to it. All you got to do is know it. No. There was a sect of people among the Pharisees that thought that their intellect, their intellectualism, as long as they understood these things, it didn't matter whether they applied them or not. I'm afraid there's some of those folks still around today. No. He gives a gift for the gift to be used. That's when he gets glory, and that's when we find joy. If you know these things, happy are you if you do them. And the most important part of that is for him to get the glory. And until we put it into use and put it into practice, he's not going to get the glory. And what is happening in the church today? God's not getting a whole lot of glory. Think this message is needful? We need to understand our depravity. We need to understand that we can't serve him until he's worked that work of grace in our hearts. But bless your hearts, once he's done it for a reason. For us to use. Aren't you thankful that he's given us his word? Isn't that why you read it every day? I know you do, right? You wouldn't lie to the Lord, would you? This word is that important. It's a thorough furnisher unto all good works. You can find 5 minutes. You can find 5 minutes to read some scripture at the beginning of your day. Now, I hope you can find more. But I don't know. I know some busy people. But even the busiest of people that I know, if they would take 5 minutes and ask the Lord to bless them to glean something from the Word of God, I believe the amount of the Word of God that you can read in 5 minutes, he'd give you more than enough to chew on all day long. Now, I'm not saying that's a real good pattern to follow. I really think you need to spend more than 5 minutes. But I'm going to tell you something. Anybody that says, I'm too busy, you are deceived. And what we're missing in so many lives of Christians today is the power of that word working and influencing our decisions and the desires of our heart. And I'm going to tell you something. The exercise of the gifts that he gives us is exactly what we need. Because it's the understanding and the application of it that brings glory to God and brings joy in our lives. Whew, time's about gone. All right, a couple of warnings. The scriptures give us a couple of warnings about I'm sure the scripture has tons of warnings about not using, but let me just give you a couple. You remember the rich fool in Luke chapter 12? We've picked on him a lot in Bible study, haven't we? The rich fool, the man whose fields brought forth plentifully, and he said, what shall I do? You know, I don't have room for all of this. It's my version of it. I don't have room for all this. I'll know. Listen to the I. I know what I will do. I will tear down my barns. I will build bigger barns. And I will say to my soul, soul, take thine ease, for thou hast much goods laid up in store for many years. And that man and his attitude toward the abundance of what he possessed. And by the way, Jesus had already told them, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. But people's attitudes about what they possess toward their latter part of life is so oftentimes their idea of retirement. I've worked for it. I've laid these things up. I'm going to enjoy it. Well, that's fine. If you do it in a godly way. If somehow you have been able to leave a job and you've got some time, now is time to make use of those, if you haven't already, and I'm satisfied you have, but you've got more time to devote to doing something useful in the kingdom of God. All right, but what happened to that man? The Lord appeared to him that night and said, "This night shall thy soul be required of thee." And then, how about a before and after with that? "And then who shall these things be?" Right? He didn't get to use them. But the most important statement of all in this lesson is what Jesus said after that. Because he spoke to that man, but he gave a message that still applies to us today. "So is everyone who is not rich toward God." So is everyone. They're going to lose it. So is everyone that is not rich toward God. Jesus told us in the Sermon on the Mount to lay up treasures in heaven, not treasures on the earth. Doesn't mean you can't have a savings account. Doesn't mean you can't have possessions. Plenty of the Old Testament characters were wealthy people, and they pleased God with their life. The problem is, where's your heart in the matter? The rich fool said, all his focus was on himself and what he was going to do for himself. But Jesus said to lay up treasures in heaven. There's plenty of ways we can use the spiritual gifts that God gives us and to be a blessing to others, to be a positive influence in the kingdom of God, to be salt and light, right? And if my exhortation to you to use those spiritual gifts just ends when this service is over, it's been wasted. We need to take it, lay hold upon it, bring glory to God. It'll bring joy into your life. All right, quickly, Matthew 25. You remember Matthew 25, don't you? The parable of the 10 virgins. A picture to me of the Jewish people and how some were wise, some were foolish. It says, John tells us that about Jesus, he came into his own and his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, which were born. It's not because they made a good decision. It's because God did something in their heart. All right? Enabling. All right, but what I'm getting to is the next of the three sections of Matthew 25 deals with talents. That the Lord delivered his goods into the hands of his servants and went on a long journey. To me, that represents the Gentile church. The church that we know today. He's given us these things, and he's gone on a long journey. He's coming back. I think sometimes we forget the fact he's coming back. He's coming. And when he comes, there's going to be some reckoning. And what is he going to reckon? Does it matter to him? It shows us plainly he's going to reckon according to how we have used what he has left in our care. You let that soak in for a second. To one he gave 5 talents. The man used those 5 talents, earned 5 more talents. The Lord came back and said, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." He left 2 talents with one, and that man used them faithfully and earned 2 more. And the Lord gave him the same blessing, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." But unto the third one, he only gave 1 talent. Now, what do you suppose he could have done with that 1 talent? Whew. If he'd have put it to use, if he'd have used it desiring to please his Lord, you know, the expectation here and the logic would say that, well, at least he could have earned 1 more. But he didn't. He went and buried it. You know what that tells me? He didn't use it at all. Did it matter to the Lord? Well, that's okay. It was only one talent. No big deal. No. He took the one talent away from him. And bless your hearts, I'm persuaded that if God's people ignore serving the Lord in thanksgiving and gratitude, and they don't look for ways that they can use talents, even if you haven't figured out what it is, like I said before, pray to God for the leadership of His Spirit and how you can be a blessing to someone else, and He'll give you opportunities. And when you use those opportunities, He'll give you more opportunities. And as you keep using those opportunities, maybe you could figure out what kind of gift that is. Maybe it's showing mercy. Maybe it's ruling. Maybe it's whatever. That Romans 12, verses 6 through 8 speaks about. Whatever it is, if we'll use it, desiring to bring glory to God, He'll give you more. And He'll give you, I think, the greatest thing that He'll give you more is give you more opportunities. Because each time it brings glory to God, it's a blessing to you, and you are laying up treasures in heaven. Now, Matthew 25. I've got to wrap this up here. There's something important that Jesus said after He dealt with that servant. We don't talk about that very much, do we? Maybe we don't want to talk about that very much. After He took the one talent away, by the way, what did He do with that one talent that He took away from the man who buried it and didn't use it? He gave it to the one that had 10. Well, Lord, He already had more than anybody else. Well, it's the Lord's to do with what He wants to. What do you have that you've not received? Everything you have is a gift from God anyway. All right, so that one, what happened? When He said in verse 28, Matthew 25, verse 28, take therefore and that talent, the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. Don't stop there. What happened to the man? Yeah, he lost his talent. But what else happened? See, this is what ought to get our attention. Because this is what God does. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. What happened here is that he was not allowed to enjoy the kingdom of God. Those Jews gloried in the fact that God gave them a kingdom. But Jesus told them, behold, the kingdom is taken from you and given unto a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. Taken from you and given. And when he did that, those kingdoms was out. Those Jews were out of the kingdom. Now understand, the nature of that kingdom was changed. Instead of it being a geographical and political kingdom, now it's become one that's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. It's a spiritual kingdom. But those who neglect the gifts that are given, they come to a place where they can't use it. They can't enjoy it in the kingdom of God. Don't we want to be useful in the kingdom of God? Don't we want to enjoy the kingdom of God? Don't we want to bring glory to the name of our Father which is in heaven? Don't we want to show our thanksgiving and gratitude for the gifts that he's given us by using them? Brethren, I encourage you. I beg of you. Give some time in prayer and ask the Lord to lead you to do something that would be a help to someone else. Whether it's your family, whether it's friends, whether it's co-workers, ask Him for opportunities and the leadership of the Spirit to be a blessing to someone else. It's what we need to be all about. As disciples of our Lord and letting our light shine, and the more of this we'll be doing, the more light will shine forth from this place. We'll be like a city set upon a hill that cannot be hid. And that brings glory to God first, because He's the only one that can put within us that desire to will and to do of His good pleasure. And it comes from the gifts He's given us. First of all, life and faith, but He also equips us. And the Lord knows what we need. The Lord knows what we're capable of. And He never asks anything of us that we can't do. Okay? And when He calls upon us to do something, He will help us. If it's His will for us to do it, He will help us. He will enable us to do it. But He's not going to drag you by the hair of your head and make you do it. There's going to come a time when you'll no longer have that desire. There will be a time when you won't enjoy the kingdom of God. There'll come a, if you neglect this. Oh, may God help us to be faithful, serving, loving God, loving one another, being a blessing in the kingdom of God. God will see it. God will be glorified. And you'll be blessed in it. Use the gifts He gives you. God bless you. It's our prayer.